Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Matt and Dwight Just Might, a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians who are just trying to figure it out as they make their way through life and comedy and everything in between. My name is Matt Alano Martin. With me, as always, is Dwight Simmons. Dwight, how are you doing today? You're once again, you're clean shaven. So that lets me know that you got another acting gig, probably, I'm assuming. Is that what
it is? No, no. The beard got scraggly.
Okay.
And it was like, it's kind of like what you said. It's like, all right, I can keep on trying with the scraggle, even though I know what the end result's going to be.
Okay.
I have all the evidence.
I was talking about my career, but sure. Okay. Like your facial hair, my career, it's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a euphemism for how your comedy career is going.
Yep, you know, come on, man. What you doing out here with that scraggle? Come on.
Yeah, man. Well, you look, that's a nice height, right?
Thank you. Yes, yeah, my beard nice right height. Now is, yeah, just, yeah, it's all right now. I got a compliment on it after one of my shows this weekend. My current beard length.
That's good.
Yeah, I guess.
Per capita, get the most compliments on your beard, no matter what length it is. So I'm not sure why you ever shave it off.
Okay. Yeah. Well, people are just happy. They're like, for God's sake, please keep that beard. Let's cover as much of that face as we can.
Like, oh yeah, you doing all right?
Yeah. Yeah. Doing all
right? I'm good, man. I'm good. I had to, I decided to shave the head, and then I did a thing where I was going to try to trim the beard, but then it just kept getting worse and worse to the
been
point
there.
I'm just
in there.
I'm like, this is all coming off. It's all coming off.
Yeah, it's easier sometimes to just start over completely, for sure.
It's like I got into my crowd work, and then I was like, I'm too far in. I shouldn't have started this. But I got to see it through to the end, for better or worse.
There you go. Yeah. So speaking of crowd work, we were just kind of, we didn't have very much of a pre-roll meeting. Usually we kind of like catch up a little bit. We kind of talk about what we're going to talk about, but we're flying blind today. We don't have a question of the week. This might be a very short episode.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Thanks.
Do better.
Yeah, exactly. This one's not on us. It's on y'all. So we'll see you next week. Goodbye, everybody. you had your headlining week and your sort of last minute headlining shows at Helium and Indy. And I saw at least one of them sold out. I saw you posted that one of them sold out.
I did. It was Friday and Saturday, both one show a piece. And Friday was about half full. And Saturday ended up selling out. I did run ads for these, and you know, you can't see the end result just because you don't own the ticket site where they actually click through and buy tickets.
Right.
But you can see how many link clicks you get on your ad. Mm-hmm. And I ran one of the best ones that I've ran for cost per click wise.
Mm-hmm.
It was under like 30 cents.
Under 30 cents per click. So that means that you got a lot of clicks for the amount of money that you spent, which is great. And then, And so are you comfortable telling us how much you spent?
I spent 70.
Okay. Yeah.
So, but that was across all the platforms.
Okay.
So in particular, I ran the Carmel bit because it was local to, the reason I did that was one, because it did well organically, and I've seen more comics run ads that instead of just like boosting a joke, like a random joke, they'll film a video where they just talk to the camera and they say, hey, I'm coming to your city. And then they'll make a couple jokes about the local, wherever the hell they're going to be. That seems to like get far more reach than just boosting an actual joke. But since this bit did so well organically and it's also local, I thought it'd be a good idea to boost it that way. So got a lot of clicks on Facebook and Instagram, like got over 1,000 clicks.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. Yeah.
And TikTok is still kind of new to me, but I think you mentioned this a couple episodes ago where you see your other videos start to get more organic reach. More so than I'm going to set a specific goal of selling tickets. So, I think it's a good thing to tinker around with. But I think for my road shows moving forward, I will just
roast the city that you're going to?
I think that's the move.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I had not seen that, but as soon as you started telling me that you've seen other comics do that, that makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. You know, the only sort of hyper low, I mean, I have jokes about Bloomington, but I mean, I think I'm just thinking about this because, speaking of TikTok, I just saw that this bit is once again kind of coming back to life, which happens every so often. But the joke that I have about LaPorte, Indiana,
mm-hmm.
you know, it every so often, like someone from LaPorte finds it and then they share it. And then it just starts to get more again. And again, not crazy numbers, but like I'm just, that's what I'm seeing now. I've not posted clips in a long time. I've been burnt out for a while.
Feels good, doesn't it?
I mean, I've been stockpiling video. I've been taping a bunch of sets and everything. And I'm like, yeah, man, whenever I actually get around to chopping these up, I've got a lot to draw from. But, you know, but yeah, so just having it basically be dormant. My TikTok's been dormant for a long time.
Yeah.
I can really notice like that effect when it happens, for sure. Well, that's great that you got that much play off of it. I think there's definitely, you know, from my experience with it too, I think there is value in sinking at least a little bit of money into those social media ads. I mean, again, it's a constantly, it's a shifting landscape and you got to try to figure it out. But this new strategy, I think, is great. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the, especially, so this was just a flat, like, pay week. It wasn't a door deal. It makes the most sense to run ads when you're
right
financially invested. This was like, okay, if I do well this weekend on short notice at Helium, maybe that looks good to the other clubs at Helium that I have not yet worked. So I kind of had that incentive because, you know, it's headlining shows. I'm at home, so I'm not traveling. So I just, what I would have spent traveling just sank in the ads. And hopefully it pays off. We'll see, man. But the shows were super fun. I had Ryan Petrie feature. He's so funny. He's probably one of the comics here in Indianapolis that have improved the most since the pandemic, since coming out of the pandemic. Just super strong in the moment. Very strong joke writing. So it was good to see him do back-to-back 30-minute sets.
Right on.
I had Riot Johnson, who I had seen at the comedy competition festival or whatever over the summer. Thought she was very funny. Very inexperienced host. very, like, jokes are great. The nuance of hosting, the mechanics of hosting, non-existent. And I had asked Avery, I was like, hey, has she hosted before? He said yes. But it was like first night she, you know, you want to reset the stage after every comic.
Yeah.
So you want to move the mic stand back. You want to move the stool. before she brought Brian up, she gave his intro, which was impassioned, like an impassioned speech, like a football coach. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, say the credits, bring them up. The credits, bring them up. She was like, nah, this man is sexy. Like, she explained what he looked like to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very new thing. Like, they're not in on the joke. It's an intro for one person, and that's Brian Petrie.
Yeah.
He's like, this man's dreads. Oh, my God, he's so sexy. Y'all gonna love him. And he was like, I got stuff you could have said comedy related wise.
Yeah. let's talk about the mistakes that hosts will make like that. It's another one of you is, I go, your feature is Dwight Simmons. Y'all gonna love this man. He says the name first instead of last. Instead of the name should be the last thing out of your mouth when you're introducing somebody. And then just like, oh, I've known Dwight for a long time. We go way back, you know, and everything. And, you know, like, oh, his wife is great too. And like just like all this extraneous.
Yes.
Stop it. Yeah, like the intro needs to be just quick. And if she wants to comment on how sexy Brian is, you do it after his set, after the audience has seen him. Now the audience has seen what he looks like. If she comes to the cabin and goes like, oh boy, like
hold
he is
the joke. Sexy. Hold the joke.
Yeah.
You know, that room at Helium is very small upstairs.
Yeah.
And so the stage is obviously very small. So you can just feel like her material so strong. And then getting into bringing up the next comic is just very... It's like a switch. It's like you go from like a professional to someone who hasn't done that thing before.
Like a big downshifting of gears, like a hard slam. Yeah.
Yeah. But just her being naturally funny I think helps alleviate that. And so she just hands him the mic and doesn't put it in the mic stand. So on this very small stage, there's a mic cord. There's Brian trying to get on stage. And there's like, he's got a, it's this weird tango that they did.
Speaking of that, it's like, I understand if people just don't, you know, again, if they're not, if they're new to hosting and they don't understand it and they forget to do that. But yeah, like oftentimes my hand's going to be full. I'm going to have a bottle of water in one hand. Yeah, I got merch in my other hand or a phone, you know, my phone recording in the other hand. And just like, now you give me a third thing to worry about. Like I got to somehow like crook the mic underneath my neck. Like it's a, you know, like a company picnic.
Yeah, I'm about to
pass the orange, you know?
Yep. It's like, you're just yelling without the mic. Give it up for your host.
I got to do that. You got to do that.
But to her credit, then I told her, I was like, hey, you know, Saturday night, let's focus on these things. Very like sharp, like took it in stride. The intro, I think we got to work on that. My intro, I'm not fucking around. My intro Saturday night was like 3.5 minutes long. It was like, I'm so grateful for this opportunity. And
oh, man.
Here's where I was when I got the message. And he has a white wife, but if he wasn't married, it was like very funny, but it was like the song that never ends.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You want,
go ahead.
You almost don't want to like crush some of that magic.
Right. Yeah.
From that person. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to completely, hey, here's how to host like a robot.
Right. Well, you don't want that either. But I mean, it just takes time to figure it out, like like how to be quick and precise with it and so still charming. But it reminds me of like whenever I the graduation show for the comedy class in Carmel, you know, I get brought out and introduced by Julia, who's like the person who works at the Center for the Performing Arts that's over all the educational materials. She's not a comic. She's not a performer, you know. And so she literally like will like read my Wikipedia page. And again, of course, she says my name first. And she's like, and then it's just like blah, 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 all this stuff and everything. And I'm just, and I've told her before, it's like, you don't need it. You can just, you know, just like, ah, here's the, you know, teacher of the class, you know. And like, but it's like, okay, all right.
She wants to spice. It's like you're winning an award.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it feels like. Yeah.
Me read his, like, don't read all my credits. Just take the buttis.
Yeah, and, exactly. Yeah.
That was, man, those shows were so fun. I had, I felt reinvigorated from, I did a show on Wednesday in Carmel at a hot chicken place that was not set up for stand-up comedy.
Okay.
But there was, there were people there.
Okay.
And they were mildly entertained by everyone. So, it was so just like chaos.
The chicken was hot, but the entertainment was mild. Is that what you're saying?
Ooh, the medium. I give us medium.
Okay, you got all the way up to medium. All right.
Yeah, we got up to medium. Yeah, I did not enjoy that that set Wednesday to prepare, but I got to work on some new stuff. I had Kelly Collette, who was hosting for Kevin Nealon, downstairs. She came up and did a guest set on Saturday night.
Nice.
And she was like, ooh, I can be dirty on this one. This is great because you got to be clean hosting for Kevin Nealon. She's so funny. It's nice to have another professional headliner on your show to like really get the crowd going. And then I had Connor Delahati on. He did a little guest set as well. So
nice.
Fun, good vibes. A lot of pals came out. So shout out to the indie comics that did come out to support. I really appreciate it. It's good to see you guys out. And I got to work on my new stuff. I finally did my dad getting stabbed joke in front of him. So that was
And how did that go?
Well, there's going to be an energy that I can't recapture. So I pointed out that he was in the room. So
after the joke?
No, before. So I wasn't going to do it. And then I had made a joke about my parents going out to eat. And I was like, my parents are actually here. And then I was just like, fuck it. I'm going to go for it. This is what I'm here for.
Exactly.
So I did it. It went well. He didn't spank me after. I didn't get a talking to after.
Yeah.
So We'll see. But yeah, man, I got to work on the new stuff that has just been driving me insane.
That's
so
good.
that felt good that felt good
yeah.
It was a I don't like with a grain of salt, it was a home it was home field advantage, so but at least
yeah,
now
but
I have the confidence.
Yeah, I was going to say, but that's exactly what you needed for to work on this material in big, giant chunks like that, and still have a club setting with the actual audience, as opposed to working on them at an open mic or at a hot chicken place, you know, where,
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, actually like on that. A club stage where people like have trust in you, you know,
yeah,
because you start getting into some wild shit at a chicken show, like people are going to be like, what is happening right now?
It's a free show on a Wednesday.
Like, yeah.
I don't know if they all came for the show or they just stayed because entertainment was happening.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know.
Yeah, but I agree, man. I agree that it's better to protect that material in a, you know, that's why I had the goal last week. It's like, all right, no matter what, I got to work on these because I don't get too many opportunities where I feel secure enough. And no matter how I do that, I'm not going to get banned from this club. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Not again. Anyway.
Not again. Yeah. Not of my own volition.
Yeah. Not for it's something you did on stage. Oh, man. Well, that's great, man. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Let's see. I was up in Chicago last weekend. I just talk about this, like talk about, you know, one of the things on this podcast is we talk about our wins and our losses. And I definitely had an L on Thursday. I guess in a way, I did the Attic open mic, and because originally I was supposed to be headlining House of Blues in Chicago, and they had double booked it. And I was like, okay, that's fine. I just go to Chicago a day later. That's fine. And so I went to the Attic open mic and I closed it out, and I went up right after this new kid, you know, first time. And he had brought out a bunch of people, the very small crowd. It was more like a regular open mic than it was the Attic open mic because the spring break weekend. So most of the kids are already gone. And so it's a very small crowd. And this kid brought out like half of them at least.
Damn.
And he did a thing where he, like, first of all, he just stopped in the middle of a set and talked about how dope it was that Shane Gillis got to do Saturday Night Live and like how cancel culture is finally over and all this shit. Like, no joke about it, but just like how much he loves Shane Gillis and stuff like that. And then
he loves the king.
Yeah. And so it was just a weird thing. And then he did a couple impressions. He did like a British accent and they did a Trump impression, and neither one of them were particularly good. And so I jokingly was shitting on his ability to do impressions like up top, and man, did his people fucking hate that. They
what a shock. What a shock.
Me. They hated me immediately.
What a shock.
And I thought it was like, of all the things to kind of shit on him about, I thought that was one we're all going to be on board with, is that his Trump impression was weak and that he apparently doesn't know what British people sound like. And so they fucking hated me. But again, if I'm also can give myself my own flowers, I dug out of it, and like literally joke by joke, I won back all of his friends. Every single one of them, I just like got, I settled in. I'm like, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
And I worked on some new jokes. So I didn't just do a bunch of hits. I was like, all right, here's some new shit that I've been trying to work on. But it was just one of like things where I really miscalculated it.
Yeah.
Whereas if it had been packed, and I had kind of gone after him, because you could see the other half of the crowd that wasn't his friends were not feeling his shit.
Right.
Like, and so I was like, oh, I would have gotten way more off of that. But it was fine. But it was definitely not.
That's so funny.
It was clunky. It was clunky as fuck, but I got out of it.
I hate it when a roast starts, like you start to roast someone and you know immediately that they're not going to like this.
No.
Y'all really like that last guy, huh?
Yeah.
Did we see the same thing?
Yeah. Oh,
they're like, fuck you.
Yeah. Well, if I can also break it down, this is what I didn't say. If I was going to double down on this dude. Okay, so this dude is a white kid, right? They get up and did this. And he talks about how much he loves Shane Gillis.
Yeah, exactly.
I already said they love Shane Gillis. You know he's a white kid.
Yeah.
But most of his friends that he brought out were South Asian. If I was to guess, they were like Indian, Pakistani, people like that from the Kelly School of Business.
Okay.
And I would be like, oh, y'all should check out what Shane Gillis actually said if you want to, because the kid sort of referenced it, but said, you don't Google it. He's basically said the same thing that Shane Gillis said on the monologue. He's like,
he used Shane Gillis's joke.
Kind of, in a way. Yeah. And I would be like, no, y'all really should Google why, what your boy thinks is great comedy, you know, like, but I didn't, but anyway,
Google what he'll have the confidence to say in 3 years.
Yeah. Oh, yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
His hero. So,
anyway, but things turned around when I got to Chicago. I did Lincoln Lodge, the flagship show on the main stage. It was great. I thought that I had like an okay set, not a great set. I watched it back the next day. It was decent. Mm-hmm. And I think the really thing was is I just like Dan Dries, the host, had a really hot set.
Yeah.
And then Katie Kincaid went up after me. She also had a really hot set. And mine was okay. Mine was good. It was solid. But the two of them had really, they popped really right. big. And so being in that, in between those two, I was like, I don't know if that was, yeah, that was great. But again, watching it the next day when I was chopping things up, I was like, okay, this is better than I thought it was going to be. And then I wound up getting on two shows at the Laugh Factory. I thought I only had one, but they also threw me on the super late, the 11:30 p.m.
Wow.
Dirty show, the nasty show.
Yep.
The first show, the 9:30 show, 9:15 show, whatever it was. I had a good set. It was strong. It was fun. I got to see something like Lucia Whalen was hosting. It was like, there was a good vibe, good hang. Sarab was there. Like it was a fun catch up with some people, you know? And then that Dirty show I did, it was very hit or miss. What I found out as I was going through my set is like, oh, they actually don't want dirty jokes.
Oh, really?
Like, because I went up second, like the host and Mo Good, the host is Tiny Thickums, and then the first comic up was Mo Good. They both were like working pretty dirty and very good comics. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And the crowd was like up and down for them too.
Okay.
And when I didn't do dirty jokes, I did way better.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I should have just done the 10 that I did on the earlier show too. And I probably would have had a much hotter set. It was very odd. And
that
I
is.
Think the thing is like, I, you know, and I talked about it to a couple of Chicago comics and I'm like, that show, everybody is so wasted or mm-hmm. so high or so tired. Like there's very few people that are actually there to be a lively audience.
How many was it like full?
It was pretty full. The 9:15 show was sold out, which was great.
Yeah.
And then that late show, the bottom was pretty full all the way back.
Okay.
But it was just a lot of dead-eyed stares on people when you're up there performing, just a lot of people staring at you. And I was just like, they're wasted or exhausted or something is going on here. But it was one of those things that as I was like walking out, because you have to walk through the audience basically to get out
right.
stage there. I had so many people like, oh, that was really great. And I was like, was it? Like, okay, that's wild, you know?
Man, I laughed so hard, but I'm so high right now.
Too tired to laugh, I guess, you know, or something. Yeah. But yeah. But it was, you know, it was good. And it's the first time I'd done the Laugh Factory in a long time since like before the pandemic. So it's fun to get back there. And, you know, like I said, I saw some people. But yeah, it was okay. I actually, probably the best thing that happened all weekend is I met up with an old friend in comedy, and I'm not going to say their name for the reasons that are about to become very clear. You were asking if there's any comedy drama. I think I'm about to start some. Here we go.
Let's go. It's been too long.
That was literally the one question you had pre-roll. Two questions pre-roll before we started rolling tape.
We've been hot on.
It's like, any questions to the Gmail account? I'm like, nope. He's like, any drama? I'm like, no.
I did. I had to switch voice. There I had to switch go. Voices. I was wearing a green shirt. I put a red shirt on. I said, any drama? Give it
so,
to me.
I met up with a friend, someone who's been doing comedy for a long time, you know, is a senior member in their scene, and also produces and, you know, gives a lot of stage time out to people, right? Mm-hmm. They're a foundational part of their comedy scene. And they brought it up, which I'm so glad that they did. We were just kind of catching up because they verbalized something that I've been feeling for a long time, which is they talked about like newer comics that are running shows in their scene are more than happy to take shows from them,
mm-hmm.
but not offer shows back. And they were like, is it because I'm an old guy? Is it because, you know, like they don't think I'm funny, you know, it's like, it's the sort of thing where, and this is really where it hit, where it's like, it's not even that I necessarily want to do your Tuesday night bar show.
Yeah.
As an older man with a real ass life and everything to do, you know?
Right.
But he's like, I want to be asked because it's like as simply as a sign of respect. And I've been feeling that way for a while.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like there's, you know, there's new generations of comics that are doing stuff here in Indiana and stuff, and that's great. And like they're running shows, and I do not get asked to do very much.
Yeah.
I just don't. Like, I don't know if I'm just not hanging out enough, or people think I'm hacky, or they just think I'm an old man. I'm not a fun hang because I'm a sober dude. Whatever, like the many reasons I can create in my mind.
The spiral starts to happen.
Yeah, but it really is this thing where I am like, oh, but these motherfuckers are more than happy to take any shows that I book.
Yeah.
You know, look, like whether the cardinal spirits or don't tell or anything like that, you know, either that they have gotten from me or that they have reached out to me like, oh, I'd love to do. Well, I bet you would.
Well, what if it's a sign of respect? Like maybe you're above this show. Because I get upset when I get an offer to do a show and I'm like, why the fuck am I the person you would ask?
You think I'm as lowly as you?
Fucking disrespectful to ask me.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Do you really? Do you really get that way about some shows?
If it's like, can you do... This is not as much anymore, but it used to make me upset where I think now it's more of an ignorance thing. Like, people just don't know. It's like, can you come drive 2 hours, do 45 minutes, and we'll pay you like $35?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no. Like, part of this is newer comics are just new in every aspect of this.
Yeah.
They're going to book their friends.
That's why I've not talked about it that much. Yeah. But you know, I've not brought it up. But knowing that other people out there are feeling it too, yes. There's also some people that have been doing it now for long enough that they should know better.
Yeah,
and that they are, you know, whether it is like a paid spot that like pays okay, right?
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, you talked about it just now. Like they book their friends. That's the thing that I'm noticing.
Right,
is a lot of these people that I'm thinking of, they just book their friends.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's like it's just like this weird circle jerk.
Yeah.
Well, which I mean, you know,
not a normal one, one.
Yeah, not a weird one. Not a normal, like, you know, Christian.
Not like we used to do it back in the day.
Yeah. Not like church camp, you know. It ain't gay if it's in the presence of the Lord. All right. You know what I'm saying?
These kids these days, man. No respect.
Yeah, but it is one of these things that's like, that's the thing that I've noticed. It's just like the same five or six of them on every single show that they all like run. And it's just like the cycle that repeats itself over and over and over again. But it is one of these things that's like, all right, that's cool. If you want to do that, then don't come asking me for stuff.
Right.
You know, it's like you have your own ecosphere that you built.
Yeah.
And I was really thinking about this a lot, like after I had this great hang and great lunch conversation with this person. I was like, am I just being the fucking cranky old man? And I was like, no. When I started doing comedy, we started putting on shows. Me and John Handcuff started putting on these shows in South Bend, Indiana, which was his hometown. There was no comedy club there at the time. Mm-hmm. We would just put on every 3 months. We would go and rent out this bar, Martha's, and we put on a comedy show there. The first people that we asked were like Tom Takkar and Josh Cox and people that were a year and a half or 2 years ahead of us at the Attic. The people that we looked at as our senior comics, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing with like once we started to get no comics from indie, right? Mm-hmm. We asked those people immediately because we knew it was going to be better for the show, first and foremost, instead of like the two of us or one of our jerk off friends from Bloomington that also had just started doing comedy, trying to close out a show. We're like, no, you bring in these guys because they've got experience. And I just don't see that happening. And again, some of the shows, I will see this one collective that I'm sort of thinking of, but I think it happens in a lot of places. And obviously, because this person that I had lunch with is in a completely different state, completely different scene. But the one I was thinking of, like they do occasionally reach out and like some of their shows, they'll have a headliner come in. It's like, yes, that's someone you should have had. And this also just expands to anyone who's like runs a show. If you run a show in Indiana and you're not reaching out to, we'll just go down the list. You, Vince Uncle, DJ Dangler, Brent Terhune, me, I'll put myself in that same category.
Yeah.
Like people that have credits, have done some real ass shit, you know, like things that would be a benefit to your show. If you're just never reaching out to those people, like, what are you doing? Like, you just don't care about your show, essentially.
No, maybe.
Your show, yeah.
You also got to pay those people.
Oh, well, that's true, too.
Like, if you're doing a free show, that's why I like this collective that's doing the shows in Carmel. They seem to be, they're all new, but they at least seem to be like, hey, send me some people that you think would do good in these rooms. Like, that's a level of effort that a lot of people aren't giving. But also, like, why, just to devil's advocate this, why not just ask and then get upset? It's like we always say, like, you can't get stuff if you don't ask for it. Yeah. And that applies to
because the situation. It does. And, but it's also, it comes back to the same respect thing of, like, why should I? They know who I am. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I'll use that Carmel Collective, for example. I don't know who runs that. I don't know if they know I exist. You know, like, I've always been like, oh, those shows seem cool and they're on weekdays or whatever. Yeah. You know,
I don't think they go south of 106th Street, Matt.
Okay. Yeah. Well, why would they come to Bloomington or whatever? Because they probably think, oh, I don't want to drive up there for that or what, you know, like, even if they know I exist, right? I understand that. But it's just like, I just don't feel like I should have to ask to do your show. This is just me being cocky. I mean, it's just, I guess. But it's like, I don't think I should have to ask to do your show. You should want me to do your show. And if you don't want me to do your show, then that means that you have a specific reason for not wanting me to do your show.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, you know, it's just, I I've been in a weird headspace for a while. I've talked about it on the podcast, you know, and this is just, normally I wouldn't put this shit out on main like this, but
yes,
it, you know, it's after a while, like, and obviously I'm on my way out. I'm quitting anyway. So, like, I might as well just start.
The circle jerk stops here. You hear us?
Yeah.
I'm giving you 70% of this argument.
All right. That's good.
Because I do think there is validity in what you're saying. Like, no, like, I'm not sure there's a national epidemic of younger people starting shows that are just like in a group chat, like, hey, don't book anybody over the age of 32.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think that there's ignorance at play in several different ways. Obviously, there's pay aspects to this. And then there's also, like, we get to have the ego, obviously. We've earned it at least enough to do these shows. But we've always put our egos aside to get booked on shit. It's not like when I send avails to a club and then I don't hear back. And I know I should do this club because I'm looking at the roster and I'm looking at everybody posting. I don't stop asking for it.
Right.
I keep asking for it. And then I'm pissed that I have to ask for it. But I'm still going to go do the show. I still have, it's part of the work that's really dumb. I get, like, it's, I don't want to say this comic's name, but I'm not going to. It's like when, so producers do this now where it used to be comics would brag about, look at how many shows I'm doing. And then you look at the shows and they're like free showcases and you got an open mic on there. And you're like, I'm so busy.
Yeah.
You're doing a fucking improv versus stand-up battle. Like, okay, well, that's not really. And everyone's like, you go off. You doing it. You got a career. It's like you made $35 that month.
That month. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When almost everything on the little graphic on Instagram, when it says the month, and that is your picture and has all these dates and almost all of them, if not all of them, are just open mics, unpaid open mics.
Yeah.
But it's like, we rough. Also know there's a precedent, you know, of faking it till you make it in this business. And we've even seen some, like, regional examples of that, of people who just put forth that they were a big time serious ass comedian before they had the chops. And a lot of people bought into it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, that's the person I'm thinking of in particular, I will give credit to, that has gotten better, has gotten a lot better and has started to catch up to the hype that they manufactured for themselves. But they were very savvy.
Right.
They were very savvy about it, knowing that, basically understanding the way the internet works.
Smart.
You know, and particularly in Trump's America. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be true. You just say it enough. You just say it enough. Like,
with confidence behind it.
Yeah.
Every third word's a capital.
Yeah. I will own the stubbornness and shittiness of me making the statement. You're right. I should be asking to do these shows, just so I can be furious when they say no. But here's the thing too. Also, it comes back to the initial thing of, like, I don't really want to do the show. I just want to be, I want to be asked to do the show.
Yeah.
In some cases there are shows like, yeah, I would love to come do your show. Like, I love doing comedy. And if it was local, I wouldn't even need that much money to come do it, you know?
Right.
And it's like, obviously I go do open mics at the Attic all the time for free, you know? Yeah. But yeah, it's one of those things that's just, again, I don't feel like at this point in my local career, in this hyper localized career,
Yeah.
when I am the senior most comedian in the city that I live in,
Yeah.
You know, because everyone else started before me, moved away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also the only full-time professional working comedian that lives in the city, you know.
Yeah.
That I'm true. Aware of. That I unless there's somebody that's doing a bunch of corporates and stuff that never comes to the attic or whatever. It's just like it just seems, if I may be egotistical for a moment, you might have me on the list of people that you would reach out to do your show. Maybe.
I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. I mean, the whole thing is shitty. Like, if we're, how many times do people go off of avails or clubs go off of avails? Like, it's mostly, hey, can you come do this week? Or, hey, I got this week open and shit like that. But
yeah, exactly. And the thing with club stuff is, like, a lot of it is so last minute. You know, you just had a last minute, you know, fill in weekend of as a headliner.
Yep.
But, you know, I just got from, you know, Bark Entertainment, they blasted out an email like, emergency, like, we need a host for this weekend at one of the clubs. Right. Because I read what wasn't in the email was like, this is a two comic show. And originally the headliner was just going to bring somebody. Now they're not.
Yeah.
And they just flipped it onto the club. And the club's like, oh shit, we need to find somebody ASAP.
Yeah.
And so I thought about, like, submitting to that, but I was like, oh no, because if I'm in as a feature with Bark Entertainment,
don't work backwards.
Exactly. Don't work backwards. I was like, nope, I don't need the $200 for four shows that much.
Yep.
You know, my shows this weekend got canceled and I could have, you know, so I'm making zero money this weekend, but it's also, I don't want to start that precedent of then leaning on me to be just a host, you know.
That's a very specific example as well, because I feel like if it was someone you had a relationship with that knew, this is like a cattle call. You get those emails from whatever his name is, Jason Douglas.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
He has an email list of like 500 people that he just sends out random dates to. And then is there anything more disrespectful than, hey, no hotel, $200, Leesburg, Indiana, on these dates. First person that emails me gets it.
Yeah.
Feels like a game show.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was doing some shows for him, and then I had to cancel, not last minute. I think it was like something like 2.5 or 3 weeks notice, and he has not given me a single show since then. He was working me pretty decent because he had a lot of stuff that I could go drive to and drive back the same night for $200.
Yep.
You know, which I understand if it paints me as being, you know, unreliable and he's got 499 other comics on that list, you know. I will say, to his credit, though, he has replied back to me when I've replied back, like, I can do these. It's like, okay, cool, thanks for letting me know.
Yeah.
Which a lot of those guys don't even do that. So I understand, you know, this idea too of, like, they can't just, like, if you were a booker that has 20 rooms that you book, okay, you can't just have 20 comics in your roster because they're doing other shit. You have to have a lot more comics just to make sure those get filled.
Yeah,
it is a bit of a cattle call for sure. No doubt. And the shows that I'm complaining about being a grumpy old man about are not those. That's not the situation.
No. This is just pointing out that the whole thing is frustrating.
Oh yeah. Oh yes, and of course. Yeah.
You can feel disrespected in every fucking level. Every level.
Yeah. You don't get to host the Oscars. Now you're disrespected. Go back to your mansion and cry on your piles of money and, oh, we can't cry too long though, because you got to go to 7 movie premieres this week. The different movies that you're in, you know,
still slighted.
Yeah,
just like me when I went to the Helium open mic and I didn't sign up in advance, and I asked if I could get on, and they only gave me 3 minutes. Do you know who I am? I've headlined this club.
Yeah, and that was the first 2 minutes of your 3 minute set, and then you're like, anyway, my dad got stabbed.
Yeah. Come back next week. I'll finish the story.
Yeah.
I did make fun of because the room is like 60 seats.
Yeah.
And I was like, on social media, I'm going to say I sold it out, but they're not going to know that it was only 60 seats.
Of course.
Because the internet's fake. But I think that's a very valid feeling. I'm not sure if there's anything actionable to do about it outside of, like, I mean, you could always go the...
Other than just talk to your friends about it privately and not put it publicly out there on a podcast. Is that an action item that I could have followed?
Listen, our 58 listeners are loyal, and you're safe with them, I believe.
I mean, yeah, I'm just like, I want to be vulnerable. And like, I'm just going to expose the ugly parts of this too, me being a bitter old man, I guess, you know.
I think that's healthy. It makes you, it means you're still fucking, you got some fervor and passion about this, even though you feel like you've been in an emotional slump.
Yeah.
You, like you said, your shows have been going well. It's just been like
the shows have been fine. Yeah, it's just like my my mental stability. No, that's not. But that makes it sound even worse. Yeah, just like I've been. You know, I'm in the blahs. I'm in the midlife crisis shit, and it's not. I honestly don't think it's comedy related, but I'm sure the comedy doesn't help it. You know, I've talked to other friends of mine that are around the same age as me that have office jobs and things like that, and there's a lot of us that have that same kind of feeling right now of like, what is the fucking point?
Yeah,
like, you know, it's like, I used to make fun of the people my age that would just like, you know, drop out and like, just, oh man, I live at Burning Man, I never leave, I'm on the playa fucking year round, baby, I'm always there, I'm there to welcome them when they come, and I'm there to wave them goodbye as they leave. I'm just out here experiencing. And now I'm kind of like, you know what?
Yeah. Yeah. Time. Like,
drop off the grid and it's like time. Not pay taxes and like not follow the news.
Oh, God.
Not try to accomplish anything with your life. You know, he's
killing my buzzwords right now. You just said news. You said taxes, which I'm currently about to do.
Yep. Yep.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
I wish I got less shit when I'm doing my taxes.
Yes. Yeah. Let's focus on some positives. Where are you going to be at this weekend doing shows? Let's end this last 15 minutes of the podcast on something happy.
Okay, I guess. Let's trick the listeners. Hey guys, we're happy now. I got shows coming up. This comes out Wednesday, March 13th. On the 14th, I will be in Indianapolis. I'm actually doing a charity show. We talked last week about giving back. I'm doing a show at 1:30. In the afternoon,
nice.
At an elder care facility. So I've been putting together some bits for that. You know what? Mm-hmm. I was like, why did I agree to do this? Mm-hmm. Give back and all. And then I heard an interview with Chris Rock. It was an old one where that's how he works out material. He'll go to like Baltimore to the hood, and then he'll go to like a New Jersey retirement facility and just flip through his notebook. And I was like, this is an opportunity. To work on some stuff. They won't remember it. Know what I mean? That same day, I will be at Almost Famous on Mass Ave in Indianapolis. So that one's on my website, which I need to update with some shows. And then Saturday, I'm doing a Kurt Vonnegut benefit. We're going to raise money to fight back against all these legislators across America that want to ban books. It's going to be a platform that you'll see a lot of people running on this year. And we're going to try to raise some money to bring in some prominent voices to fight back against it. So that is what I'm doing. I'm not leaving Indianapolis, which I'm very excited about. Get to stay home. Second week in a row, baby.
All right.
Very
man.
Good. What about you?
I was going to say, like, at what point in the second week in a row of being home is Meg going to be like, ain't you got some road shows?
Yeah, last Monday.
You're around a lot. Okay.
10 days Monday. Ago.
That's when it kicked in? Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I was like, hey, you got a work meeting? I'm doing a podcast. Middle of the day.
Oh man, I have nothing. I was supposed to be featuring at Commonwealth Sanctuary and was going to use that as an opportunity to tape my dry bar submission, but it got the text message a couple of days ago that the headliner's management informed them that the headliner will be bringing their own feature, even though they had previously cleared and said it was okay for them to book a local feature. So I got bumped. Jeez. And so you know, that's helping with my overall attitude towards things. And so
you did start that sentence with I have nothing, and I feel like that is the clip.
Yep.
That's the promo clip.
It's, I mean, it's true. And then I don't have anything for a while. I'm going to London with Denise. We're doing vacation slash going to my buddy JD's wedding. I have reached out to a couple places there about doing shows. I have one tentative maybe. Like, I have to message them the day of to see if they have a spot. And part of me is like, I may probably just won't. I'll probably just be in full on vacation mode then. If it's going to be like, text us the morning of and we'll see if we can get you on. I'm like, is that
No.
really worth me going and doing?
Take the day.
And so so I honestly I don't have anything. Well, I'm gonna be hosting the Cardinal Spirit show on the 17th. I'm sorry, I skipped over that. The final Cardinal Spirit show will be on March 17th, the Sunday, with
Oh,
Brent
yeah.
Terhune hosting, Aaron Dubsky, Zach Rohde, and a new comic here locally, Nita Sayer, I think is her last name. That might not be right. Yeah, just trying to give opportunities to new comics and Nita Syed, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And also bring in some killers like Brent and Aaron and Zach. So that'll be fun. We are making that a benefit for the Bloomington Refugee organization. Helps out with refugee populations that show up in
Oh,
Monroe
yeah.
County. So we're doing that. But yeah, other than that, man, I don't have any comedy, and that's just a hosting gig. I don't have any comedy shows on the books until the middle of April.
We got to get some drama going. Oh yeah, I am on the Sunday show. I guess I never look at Sunday at Black Circle, but and then you said so you're off. How long are
For
you
like
out
a
of the
month.
country?
I'm out of the country for like 10 days.
Okay.
And then I'm back for a good solid 2 weeks and still no gigs. And
You need those last minute ones. You need those last.
So this is also an advance notice to let everybody know we will be taking a break from the podcast at the end of this month. There won't be two weeks of, well, maybe, yeah, there'll be like a week we won't have shows, because or an episode, I should say, because I will be in England. And
Yeah, we
I
might.
ain't trying to, I ain't trying to Zoom podcast from my hotel room in London.
Nope, we just have the first level of the premium. Can't go international.
Oh, see, there it is. Okay. Yeah.
So
All
that's
right.
it. That's
That's okay.
that's all good. Okay, so all right, I have
Got some drama? You got it?
no, nope. I have a note to do another booking challenge, and it sounds like when you get back in the country, we should fire that bad boy up
Well, I mean,
because
and we
my
could
summer
start.
is empty.
We could start now. I mean, honestly. So, I mean, I'm not going to get anything that before my gap anyway. I would be down for that. Let's see. Yeah, my May looks decent. So I've got like the first. Well, I've got a couple things in May, and then I'm waiting to see if I get into a festival. And then yeah, but yeah, my June's pretty empty. Yeah, I'm with you. Let's work on this booking challenge for sure.
All of my everything I've been getting is like mid-summer to fall, and like it was like that. Remember, just a couple months ago, you like looked at a comedy club's calendar. You're like, oh, they're booked for the year. This is crazy. They're gonna have to get creative with this one. But when do you want to start? We could
I mean,
start.
we can make the challenge now, and we can start reporting. How long did we go? Did we do 10 days? Was that it?
I think we did 10 days, but then you leave.
Yeah. So let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't leave until the 27th. So we'll have an episode
Oh, okay.
next week.
Oh, yeah,
And
let's do
then
it.
if we record earlier in the week, like on the 25th or 26th, then we can have an episode that week as well. It's just that following week I won't be able to record because I'll be in England the entire week.
Right. Well,
So
we'll start on the 13th. That's
okay.
a Wednesday, and then
Go to the 23rd.
the
Is that
go to
the
the
goal?
23rd. Yep.
Okay. Well, if anyone has not heard the previous booking challenge, the idea is to get a booking every day. And so the goal is, that's the ideal. And but sometimes, you're gonna get two on one day and nothing on a day or whatever, things like that. But the goal is to get 10 solid for real good bookings, not no open mics don't count. But we encourage everyone listening who's in the comedy game to join us in this. It was pretty amazing results last time for both of us when we sat down to really focus on it for 10 days straight, not get distracted by like, oh, I should have been doing booking stuff, but I was doing this and this and this, and just really kind of focus on it. And so
Right.
I'm excited that we're doing it again. I think it's something we should do like at least twice a year.
Yeah.
Obviously, when you look at our calendars, but yeah, I'm excited. That's the goal, everybody. So did we have a thing? Were we sending out 10 booking requests a day? Was that the idea? Is that a
No,
10 by 10
it
by
was
10?
whatever. I
Whatever
think we
you could
both
do, as
had
many
different methods.
approaches. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So, some people respond back quicker,
Yeah.
and that's the one for the day. So, but yeah, I think I like to front load it and just hopefully
And then
have them
wait. Yeah.
slowly roll in. And then, like you said, you had incredible residuals after the challenge,
I did. Yeah, I had
which is
stuff, more
great.
stuff that keep, like, I think the following week after the challenge, I think mine was up to like 15 or 16 bookings or something, because
Yeah.
I had hit, I or maybe I didn't quite hit it 10 by the challenge. I had like 8 or something, but
Yeah.
then I wound up getting a lot more the following 2 weeks. So yeah, that were
Love to
coming
see
in
it.
from those messaging. It's gonna be interesting, because a big way that I was able to fill that was also just by Facebook messaging people. I have been locked out of Facebook ever since the Facebook outage.
Are you serious? You can't get in?
Yeah. I cannot get in on any of my on the phone or any web browser. Basically, when I log in, it automatically takes me to it to authentication. It's asking me to turn on to second authentication,
Yeah.
and when I try to turn it on, it says you can't do that because you haven't used this browser enough. And so I just, it
What?
loops, it loops, it loops, it loops. I've been on Reddit. There's some other people that are in the same thing. And so part of me is like, maybe I'm free. Maybe I'm just done with Facebook
Yeah.
now. Maybe this is just how I
Oh.
dip out. I've not made a new it. The thing is that really bothers me is if I could just have Messenger, that
Right.
would be great.
Right.
Because it is very useful for booking shit and comedy. It really is.
Yeah.
And so I was like, do I have to create a new page now just to have
Messenger.
Messenger? Or maybe this will be a good test for this booking challenge to see if I actually need it, if I can just get it done through Instagram and through old-fashioned email, you know?
Yeah, bolster up that IG.
Yeah.
Get a younger fan base.
Well,
Get
I mean,
these
I will
people
say
that
that
book,
I
get
have
these young
messaged
cats
people.
that book shows
I
on
mean,
Instagram.
that's how I got the Chicago, not the Laugh Factory. I emailed for that, but like
Yeah.
the Lincoln Lodge stuff was through, I believe. No, that was also an email thing. But originally, I was going to do a different show on Saturday at Lincoln Lodge, like this one that's like a smaller, locally produced one. And the way that I got that was messaging them on IG, because they don't have Facebook, because they are
Right.
younger kids.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
That's
so
it.
that's good. That's a good idea. I'm glad you remembered to bring that back. As always, everybody, if you would like to send in a question, or you just want to tell me to stop being such a cranky old man, whiny little bitch, you can do that at the at,
The subject
yeah, yes.
line in all caps.
You can do that at the Gmail account, which is mattanddwight@gmail.com. That is mattanddwight at gmail.com. Dwight, did you watch the Oscars? We can go out on a little Oscar talk. Did you go out and watch?
I did not watch the Oscars because I haven't seen half of the movies,
Yeah.
but a lot of them are streaming now, so I think I'm gonna watch. I still have to watch Killers of the Flower Moon, and I have to watch what's the other one I saw streaming? I don't know. That one will take me a couple
Anatomy
days.
of a Fall. Did you see an Anatomy of a
Nope.
Fall?
I gotta watch
Okay.
that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like to
Yeah.
watch them, but
Before you,
I
yeah.
didn't. Yeah, I
Yeah.
probably I saw some highlights. I saw John Cena.
The John Cena thing was the funniest thing, not only in the show, but maybe in like the recent history
Yeah.
of, it's like so rare that an award show sketch actually works,
Yeah.
let alone works to that level. I mean, everything about it just was pitch perfect.
Yeah.
Like when he's out there, and the first word he says is costuming, is
Yeah.
just, whoever wrote that sketch from Kimmel's
That's
team, is that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, that's hilarious.
That
I'm
was
not a
by far the
wrestling
funniest
fan,
thing.
but
Yeah.
I'd like John Cena and everything that he does.
Yeah, I'm the
Peacemaker.
same thing. He came way after I got out of wrestling, and so I don't know. I mean, I know that he wears jorts and that kind of shit or whatever, but yeah, no, I thought it, that was the funniest shit forever. I also thought it would be, she didn't win, which I was ashamed, but I did think it'd be really hilarious if Lily Gladstone would have won, and instead of accepting her on her Oscar, she sent out like a Marlon Brando impersonator to accept her. I was like, yo, he did it for us, you know?
Come on now.
Come on, we just paying it back,
That's hilarious. Who did? Was it Emma Stone that won?
Emma Stone won. Yes.
Yes. For I didn't see that movie either.
I did not either. It looks cool. It's fine.
I think it's streaming as well. So I got
some
movies to watch.
Yes.
Yeah, I gotta go see Dune 2.
Yeah, we went and saw Dune 2 in the theater, and if you like white savior films, it's pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah.
He really
kicking in the white saviorness. It is really, really, really well done.
Yeah.
Like Denis Snyder sci-fi heads. We love sci-fi. But even leaving that one, we love this director. He's done amazing. Denis Villeneuve has done amazing shit. It looks amazing. The acting in it's great and everything. But leaving, I'm just like, I think I just don't give a fuck about Dune, man. Like, I think just the storyline of like these families and the spice, like it's, I just not, I'm two movies in that visually I love and like the acting, and I'm just like, I'm not invested. I just don't care. Yeah.
Did you read the books? Were you
I
one of
tried
those?
To read the books as a kid, and I just remember the books being kind
still
of
don't
dense
care.
And boring, dense and boring. And it wasn't, you know, I was more of a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe. And like, you know, like I liked sci-fi stuff that was also funny or more fast paced. Dune books are like, they have like indexes and like, like reference materials inside the books.
It's
I mean,
so
it's
funny.
Just like, it's like, I don't want to take a college class on this shit.
Encyclopedia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now my buddy JD, whose wedding I'm going to, is obsessed with Dune. It's his favorite series of all time. So I feel like I'm always just like, I just don't.
Like, you can't say that to a super fan. You can't. You either have to hate it or you have to love it. You can't be like milked. You're like, they'll treat you like a god.
No, he understands. He understands where I'm coming from. And it's like, I didn't go into the movies, and because he's so steeped in it, I can just text him really weird, obscure jokes I thought of during the Dune movie. This isn't obscure or anything, but there is that. Can I give you one quick spoiler? Not really a spoiler, but spoiler for Dune 2.
Is it a good spoiler?
It's not really a spoiler. I don't think so.
Am I gonna get it? Is it gonna be worth?
You're gonna
what's
get
the
it. Yeah.
Payoff?
No. Okay. No. Okay. Yeah. So, and this, it's crass and juvenile. So maybe you might enjoy it. I don't. Maybe our listeners will enjoy that. There's Paul Atreides, the white savior. Like, he's learning the ways of the desert people, the Freemen, and he catches a ride on a sandworm for the first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, they're all like cheering him, and it's a gigantic one. It's a huge one, and he stands up. It's got a lot of like surfing. Like, he actually stands up for a while, and they're like, "Oh my god, it's amazing," or whatever. And then immediately, smash cut to him and Zendaya having sex. So it goes from like, so the very definition of a smash cut, if you will.
Nice.
Anyway, but yeah, so it goes from Paul riding a sandworm to her riding his worm. And, you know, I think
that's
a long way to go for that, you know, punchline. But I don't understand
that is available to do your Tuesday
night bar
show.
I don't understand
why
people don't want to have me on their show.
If you want that on your show, that's very good. I love a good smash cut.
Yeah.
I think that joke was stronger, but
thank you. Okay, all right, well, we're workshopping it, you know.
I dig it.
This is the type of thing we do at the very end of the podcast to encourage people to stop listening about 20 minutes before the end. This is what we do.
Yes. Just... yeah, if you listen for the first 45 minutes, please leave a review. Subscribe if you listen to the last 15 minutes. Let's just check in on us, send us a question, ask us if we're doing all right.
Clearly not.
Clearly not.
Oh, man. All right. Thanks, everybody, for checking out this episode of the podcast. And, you know, we do appreciate it. We got some numbers, and that's nice. And we would love to hear from you. And, Dwight, thanks for being my friend, and thanks for asking me to do shows. I do appreciate you. That's the thing is, I don't want to act like I never get asked to do shit. You asked me recently to do something that I should have said yes to, because it turned out my shows this weekend were going to get canceled anyway.
He said no, y'all.
I said, I'm sorry, I'm booked and I keep my obligations. But, you know, it's... I'm just kidding, just kidding. I think Sean actually listens to this. Sean, I'm just playing around. But anyway, thanks, everybody. Thank you, Dwight, for being my buddy. And we'll talk to you next week.